How many times have our patients returned to our office and are just stuck in the cycle of chronic inflammation? We throw everything we have at them, nothing changes, and even our dentists are frustrated. Rather than throwing our hands up and shrugging, we need to be turning to PerioTrace by PerioProtect. I have seen the evidence firsthand and have helped so many hygienists find this resource because it really works, which is why there are so many products on the market now trying to imitate them. The results are speaking for themselves, but rather than going with an unproven product, stick with the only periodontal medicine delivery system cleared by the FDA. And not only that, but their support team is seriously among the best I've ever encountered, from the education to implementation to support when there's the inevitable bumps on the road. They are there for you. If you want to get in contact with them to learn more about how you can treat your patients better, head over to perioprotect.com/RDH. And on that site, at the bottom is a contact form that you can fill out or simply email them directly to ask for help. This is one thing I truly believe should be in every dental practice. perioprotect.com/RDH to stop the cycle of chronic inflammation.
Episodes with quick tips you should know, techniques you can implement into your workflow right here on A Tale of Two Hygienists.
Welcome everyone to today's tip episode. I want to talk a little bit about how to handle no-show appointments and really kind of any downtime that we might have. And as a disclaimer, especially to those that are listening who actually know me from my real career, you know, it wasn't pretty the first half of my career. And I think there were times in between that I wasn't perfect about this. But what I'm hoping is that, especially if you're one of those people, that rather than being like, oh, Andrew, like, yeah, you were crap at this, you can appreciate how much I've learned and grown since you knew me, since I've worked with you. Because definitely we all have faults. And I like to share my faults with the world in hopes that everyone will learn something about it. Or maybe you'll be like, wow, office, look at this fool, Andrew. Aren't you so lucky to have me instead of this guy over here? Either way, I hope that you will enjoy the tip episode today. And as I am known to do, it starts off with storytelling, right? So the tips are going to come a little bit later in the episode. If you don't want to listen to me ramble on about the whys behind the things that I'm going to say, then you can go ahead and skip forward a few minutes. But to paint the picture, my very first job in hygiene after I graduated was in this big, beautiful building. It's one of the most impressive dental offices, definitely at that time. But even until today, I think it's one of the most beautiful buildings, high tech, brand new, and it really catered to pediatric patients mostly. But we saw on another side, some older teens and adults as well. So in the waiting room, if you can imagine this, it was like a dream for any kid that needed any sort of dental work. There was a small movie theater with these padded benches for the kids to watch shows. There was like this cave building thing or room thing that had Xboxes to play in. There was another room that was, I think it was all glass and almost like a cathedral type thing. And inside it had all these padded toys for little kids to climb on. So even if they fell off, they wouldn't get hurt. They really catered to the children very well. But also for the adults, especially if you were a parent dropping your kid off, well, not really dropping your kid off, but taking that, you know, as they were being taken back, there was a coffee shop right next door that was part of the building, but it was through these doors. And then as we called the patients back, it depended on if we were calling them to the pediatric side or the adult side. So, you know, imagine walking back and you have this central location that has like the pan machine and also has sterilization. But then to the left-hand side was this wing that was for pediatrics. And then if you go around the corner on the right-hand side, it was the wing that was for adults. And there's also an ortho bay on that right-hand side. It was huge. I think we had, you know, more than 20 operatories and then also the ortho bay. So most days we had between 3 and 5 doctors working and a ton of hygienists and of course a ton of assistants. The place was massive, brand new. And I remember thinking at the time, like how lucky I was to work in such a very cool place. But in addition to it being big, new, and awesome, one of the things I really liked about it was that they were really good about keeping our schedules full. Something I couldn't appreciate until very much later in my career. We rarely had like times when patients didn't show up, because the front office was super organized. There was also a lot of disciplined assistants and a sterilization tech. And things just got done all the time. Everyone knew what their job was. And so if I finished a patient earlier, had a no-show, I also kind of felt like I didn't have any obligations to do any specific task assigned to me because I thought that my job was being handled. I thought that their job was being handled. But because of that, because everyone was handling their job and it was such a big, massive place, I was just completely oblivious to the teamwork aspect. I just like everyone was just doing the thing. And I also never worked in a dental office before. And so, you know, while now I see how stupid I was, I remember that in my little corner of the world, my little hygiene op was always clean, always organized, always stocked. My notes were done. My walkouts were done. You know, I walked the floor to see if the doctors needed restorative work or anesthesia. Almost always it had already been done by the time I was available for them. So I felt like I had done my job. I mean, I'm sure this is resonating with other people too. You're like, well, I'm doing the job as a hygienist. At my next place of business, I had a lot more no-shows, but not really no-shows, but also I had just more room in my schedule. So for sure, I always made sure that my room was stocked and ready to go. I took back the walk-ins and the emergency patients. I did the x-rays and the anesthesia and the charting and everything for those appointments. But I still found time on my hands. And here I was thinking, wow, I'm incredibly efficient. I'm so good to have everything done ahead of time. And, you know, internally I'm thinking, you know, it's a fate worse than death for any of my actions to ever cause the rest of the team to be behind or to have a patient miss an appointment or be late for work, getting back to work or make doctor run behind all day. That was my like worst case scenario. So I was always trying to be ahead of the game. And looking back again, I had that wrong. I mean, yes, you still need to do all that, but there's still more that could have been done and I wasn't doing it. And then my next job. So similar story. We all had roles and responsibilities that were clearly defined in the handbooks. And I fulfilled the patient care portions of the job very well. Patients were getting healthier. I was on time. I got great reviews from the patients. I had stepped into leadership positions. And so I had other responsibilities. I was helping other hygienists figure out how to do their workflows and be efficient and learn how to do good patient care. But I will tell you that I was not the best team player. I was definitely not leading by example. And I was not doing all of the things that I could have been doing. And it wasn't, again, it wasn't because I was lazy or obstinate. But I think for me, it's just the way that I process information is very different than the way that everyone else does. And I don't expect everyone to know that. But in my brain, my world, I was technically doing all of the things that I was supposed to be doing with patient care. On the objective portions of my reviews I had every year, I always killed it. Any objective measurement, I was always at the top. They couldn't say that I wasn't doing the job as outlined. But in the subjective portions, there was so much more to be discussed, and I could have done more by a long shot. So the reason that I explain some of these things is that I'm hoping that some of you see yourself in my actions, my workflows, and my thoughts. And because you make mistakes doesn't mean that you can't be a great leader. I also want to impress upon you that this linear thinking of I am technically doing my job is wrong and should be taken out of the process because likely you are technically doing your job. But what ends up happening is that if you only do your job, you are not making allowances for anyone else to have a tough day or to make mistakes or for patients to impact the schedule in a way that impacts the team. It's kind of singular thinking, and that's not what we need to do as a team member. So I want to give you a few items on how you can handle your downtime or how to handle time in a no-show situation. So the first things first is always to be prepared. This is kind of a double-edged sword, though, because if you're prepared, then you're going to find out that you have a little bit more time because you're not wasting time figuring things out on the fly or in the moment. And that then creates a vacuum of time that you have to fill with something else. So again, it's a great thing. You need to be prepared, but just know if you are really prepared, it's going to give you a little bit of extra time, maybe between patients or in a no-show situation. But being prepared will help you to be more nimble to move things around. So look ahead at your schedule. See what you can move into a more ideal spot. See what patients are flexible and can move. So this is especially true when you're working 1.5 or 2 columns of hygiene. There's no way that you can do 2 perio procedures right next to each other. You can't do 2 SRPs right next to each other. You're only one human being. You don't have enough hands and you don't stretch that far. And likely there isn't enough time to spend with new patients on their assessments and explain the perio protocol if you're in the middle of a shortened SRP appointment, we'll say. So to that point, especially if you're overbooked, you should be reviewing your schedule in your downtime at the beginning of the day, before you leave at night, and anytime in between. You should know that schedule forwards and backwards. You should make recommendations to the front or call the patients yourself to see if you can move them to a time that suits you better. Further, you should also know the doctor's patients as well and scan for all the patients that are overdue for hygiene. So looking for a time in the schedule that you can put them in if someone falls off, or taking a look at your first opening the next day or the following day so that when they're there in the office, you can possibly drop by the room or quote unquote, accidentally bump into them and say, hey, it's great to see you. I've missed you so much. Can't wait for our next appointment. Oh, by the way, when is that next appointment? Is that scheduled already? And then when it's not, it's a simple, well, maybe we can get that scheduled for you before you leave today. You're being proactive in making sure that that schedule is full and lowering the chances of having nothing to do later on. Another thing, this is a simple one. It's in all of the listicles of what to do when you have downtime, but it's sharpen your instruments. I love American Eagle XP instruments, but it's the same thing. Having those makes it so that I have one less box to tick on my to-do list. So it creates a vacuum of extra time that I have that maybe other hygienists don't have. And that time, again, needs to be filled by something. Now, this is not being sponsored by American Eagle XP. However, I will stake my whole entire career on sharpen-free instruments. It really is that much of a game changer. I spent between $600 and $1,000 each year on instruments because I really enjoyed not having to sharpen ever, ever, ever. And for those of you that are sharpening, remember, you need to be sharpening basically between every single patient, especially for the perio patients. And then especially for those instruments that you use the most, your 204Ss, your Montana Jacks, your Universals, your Gracie 1314s and the like. They have to be at least touched up between patients. Now for prophy patients, true prophy patients, not these bloody prophies, not these tenacious calculus, quote unquote, prophy patients, you should be able to space those ones out maybe a little bit longer depending on how much debris you're removing each time. But for our perio patients, we do need to be sharpening a lot more often than most of us are. Another thing that you can do in your downtime is treatment plans. So I would happily take a pay cut to have a treatment plan coordinator assigned to the hygiene department in every office. Someone who can put that treatment plan together, put it all in, get the patient to sign all the forms, take the payment. And then my job is to come in and do the procedures that the patient already accepted and paid for. However, because that is super unlikely that that's going to happen in almost everyone's case, this is an area that you can work on in your downtime. You can take courses. You can set up templates based on the type of procedure. So for example, all prophy appointments, you'll have the prophy code, the x-ray code, exam code, fluoride code, oral cancer screening code, perio charting code, if you have that and keep track of it. Notice now that I'm not talking about anything about money, right? I'm not talking about codes that have a dollar amount are the only ones that we're walking out. Even if it is a zero cost, say like that perio chart code, including that into your treatment plan could potentially save you later on. So for one reason, if you don't write it in your notes, it's another way of tracking the things that have been done. But for another thing, insurance companies are finding more and more reasons not to pay out on claims. The insurance coordinator, office manager, whoever is submitting these claims, if they can simply screenshot the codes and your notes and the perio chart itself all together and submit that in a packet, it'll be a lot harder for these insurance companies to not pay out. And remember, when the insurance company doesn't pay out, who's being really hurt here? I mean, yes, the office isn't generating some revenue, but we can usually work around that. Still, someone's going to have to pay for it. So who ends up being hurt? The patient. The patient gets caught in the middle in this really disgusting thing that these insurance companies can be doing. So we need to do everything that we can to do great treatment plans. And along with the lines of that whole treatment plan thing, if you have a no-show, follow your dental assistants around a little bit or peek over their shoulder and see what they're entering as restorative treatment. If you don't know that already, you can study. Sometimes they'll have in drawers or in cabinets a cheat sheet for themselves of some of the, you know, crown and bridge codes or restorative codes or denture adjustment codes, whatever it might be. You can also take a look at those and study those as well. So I think those are kind of like the big ones. I'll just quickly go through a list without too many details because these are ones that we've heard 1,000 times. But stock your room, stock your doctor's room, put away product, run the sterilization, and not just your instruments. Break down and set up rooms that the doctor uses. And I know I said I wasn't really going to get into details too much on this one, but I'll be honest, I hated helping the assistants break down the rooms for the doctors. And the reason is because they're super unorganized for me. You know, you think about our tray setup. First of all, we have, you know, cassettes that our instruments go in these very specific orders, and we can control where they end up going. But when you have two people working on a patient, sometimes the things don't get put back right, or they get put on a counter or a tray or a this or a that. They get spread out all over the place. And in that chaos was really hard for me to deal with. And then you go to the next assistant and the next assistant and the next assistant, and everyone has a different way of doing things. And what gets wiped down, what gets put through? Do I throw this one away because I don't even know what that is? So my advice for that one, by the way, is just swallow your ego. It doesn't matter if you've been there for years. Swallow that ego a little bit, look like a fool for just a few minutes, because once you get past that, once you understand what you're supposed to be doing, then they're going to be really grateful for that help. So more things on the list: call your patients and confirm appointments. Don't worry if you're an introvert, they're not going to answer anyway. So all you have to do is have your little cheat sheet script ready to leave a message. You can look through your disposables and write things down and put them on the list to be ordered. Clean impression trays, make bleach trays. The list can go on for forever. And I know the arguments. Look, I know the arguments on everyone's side. It's, well, if I do this, then the assistant's not going to do this, and they're going to be late, you know, being lazy. And I know, I've been there already. I just think that it's our responsibility to be leaders as hygienists, right? And maybe not the traditional sense of leader, but if you want things to be better in your office, stand up and help it be better. I can't tell you how much better the relationships are in those teams where I'm helping and, you know, being a part of things versus being the loner and feeling isolated. And I've been on both sides of it. I've seen both sides of that, especially in the coaching that I've done. I've seen it all the time. So anyways, I hope that some of these things will help you figure out what to do during your downtime. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate all the support that you always give us. I hope you have a great rest of your day. Thanks. A tale of two hygienists.